I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning, and may the grace and peace of Jesus be upon our lives. I want to welcome each one to our service. Glad to have you here, and home folks and visitors as well. Thank you for coming, and thank you for praying. If you care to turn to 3 John, the third epistle of John. And the title of my message is, Which of the Three Are We? There's three men mentioned in here. And two of them were godly men, and one was not. They were all within the church. And I would assume the way this letter is written, they were all in the same church. But there were three men here, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And these were all, they were different men, and they lived their life differently. I'd like to look at these men and get some pointers of how it is for us. As I read these words and studied this message, I couldn't help but think that many times I'm more like Diotrephes than I want to be. My goal is to, of course, be not like Gaius necessarily, but to be like Jesus, because he was following Jesus and therefore made him a well-beloved man. Let's read the chapter. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write with unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. The first time we read of Gaius, or a man named Gaius, I don't know if this is exactly the same one. It is possible that it is the same one. Is in Acts 19. There, for those of you that remember the uproar there at Ephesus, Gaius was not part of the uproar, but he was part of Paul's team at Ephesus when Demetrius stirred up the people. Now, I don't know if this is the same Demetrius. But Demetrius is the only, we read of Acts 19 and 3 John here is the only time we ever come across those names. Both times Gaius and Demetrius are mentioned together. So is it the same man or not? I don't know. We know that God can change hearts, and God does change hearts. The riot in Acts 19 was when Demetrius the silversmith called the people, the other business people that were involved in making these little idols in silver for the goddess Diana, and these people would buy these little idols, and then they would pray to them. And what was happening here is, as Paul was preaching at Ephesus with Gaius, his helper, Aristarchus, I think, was there as well, and some others, Demetrius, the silversmith, said, "We are in danger of losing our business." It was hitting the pocketbook, and he became alarmed, like we men sometimes do. And he called the other silversmiths together and said, "We got to do something about this. If this man keeps on preaching and the people keep on responding, we will have no business left over." And they caught Gaius and Aristarchus, I think is the name, and they took them to the theater, whatever that was. I think it was their arena. And that's where the congregation of the people came together. What happened there, it doesn't tell us, but then later it mentions Gaius in Romans 16. The one in Romans 16 gives recognition to Gaius as being a host or having a hospitable trait. So I could very well imagine that this is the same Gaius in 3 John as it was in Romans, because of the trait of hospitality in his life. So what can we learn from Gaius? Number one says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Gaius was loved, and he loved. He loved the church. He loved the brethren. And he was loved in return. He was well-beloved. He conducted his life in such a way that people loved him. They loved to be around him. Number two, he was a man of God. The testimony about him was, "I hope your physical life is prospering as much as your spiritual life." Now, if somebody would tell that to you and to me, what would happen? How would your life look? If they would tell me that, "I hope your physical life is prospering just like your soul and your spiritual life," what would happen? Would you wither up and die? Would you wither up and kind of float away? Or would it prosper some more? The testimony about Gaius was, "I hope you are flourishing in your physical life as much as you are in spiritual life." What a testimony! That he was living for God. Would our bodies become revitalized and rejuvenated? Again, what would our health be like if that would be told to us? He was a man of truth. Truth was part of his life. Truth was the all-compassing thing in his life. Therefore, he walked in truth. The brethren gave testimony that he loved truth. "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." So it was not just a mouth confession, but it was a life confession of Gaius, that he lived and loved truth. You know, it brought much heart to the, brought much joy to the heart of John. And I believe to the hearts of the brethren as well, to watch and observe this man of integrity. He loved truth. He was a man of truth. He was also a faithful brother. He did what he promised. I thought that was interesting this morning. We talked about promises and how that, our vows. But Gaius was faithful in his promises and his responsibilities. It didn't matter what he was asked to do. He did it with alacrity is the word I think about. He did it with with rapid speed. He was right there. Whatever he was given to do, he did it with a heart full of think of the German word, but I can't think of the English word. Now I lost that word too, so I'm sorry. And when he finished his job, it was done right. You know, also, it didn't matter who it was for, men of renown or the grandpa down the street, or the woman that is constantly grumbling and complaining. Now, I did not say that because of you women. We have a neighbor that we call her, again, it's a Deutsch word, it's Gnakes Mommy. The complaining woman, the complaining grandma. And that's what she does. I mean, you can never ask her how she is, but that she's just not well. So she became the Gnakes Mommy. So it doesn't matter who it is for, but we do it with faithfulness. That was what Gaius's testimony was. Others gave the testimony about him. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. His labor was a labor of love. You know, he loved the brotherhood and godly strangers alike. He was hospitable. Family and strangers were welcome in his house. He wasn't selfish with his food or beds. People came away from his house filled with gifts and provisions for their journey and work. I believe he lived Romans 12, verse 13. And that verse says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That became his life. His labor was a labor of love, and he was hospitable. It also tells us that he, verse 6, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I believe Gaius understood the value of support. He understood that if he helped them in their needs, he is helping spreading the gospel. You know, we don't always have to be at the front lines of the battle to be warriors for truth. We don't. There are many people that cannot go out and be at the front of the battle, but they can be back there being prayer warriors. They can be just as involved in the work of God through encouragement, food, rest, prayer, and being a wound dresser. I'd like to encourage us that may we never get the idea that there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that I can do. There's always much work for the child of God. Much work. The prayer warrior and the wound dresser and the encourager is just as much needed as the man on the front lines, preaching the word and doing the work of the visible work of God. To you, mothers, may you understand that a battle-scarred warrior loves to come home. Just be in your presence. You know, there's something about coming home and being in the presence of Mom that is just, it's soothing. So may the Lord bless you as you fulfill that responsibility and that service to your sons and daughters as they are maybe in the heat of the battle. Verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now we get into Diotrephes, and this is the only place that we read of him in the whole Bible, this name. There is no other place that this name is mentioned. The testimony of this man is not good. He was in the church, but I don't think he was of the church. It seemed like he was a man of influence or position. There was, somehow he was a man of influence, a man of position. It doesn't say he was a leader, and yet it would almost look like that. He did tell other people what to do and what they couldn't do. If they didn't listen, he excommunicated them or had a hand in it somehow. Verse 10. He forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. Diotrephes seems to be a man that is self-centered and selfish. You know, he thought he was superior to all others. You know, his thoughts were better than his brothers. He thought only his way or problem, excuse me, he thought only of his way or the problems he faced, and others couldn't understand what he was going through because they never went through what I did. Self-centered and selfish, he did not love the church. He lived for himself. He did what he thought he should do without considering the church brethren. He was a jealous person. You know, if somebody got more attention than he did, he wasn't happy with that. He refused to acknowledge that person for who he was. He also forbade anybody else to give attention to those people. And I just wrote down here, if another person got praise for a job well done, then his baleful attention came upon them to make life difficult. It seems like the godlier the man, the other person lived, the worse he seemed to hate them, because they showed him up that his life was not according to God's plan. Verse 9 and 10 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Diotrephes was a man that loved being in charge or having authority. You know, his word was authority, or so he thought, and he dominated others as much as he could. He liked to call the shots, and you better allow him to do that or there's going to be trouble. He operated best when alone and unopposed. When questions arose about his views or way of doing things, those people were just put out of the church, out the door. There was no openness in his life. I believe he was also egotistical, arrogant, and proud. His way was best, and if you didn't see it his way, then you were at fault, not him. He was a malicious slanderer. He was hateful, spiteful, mean, nasty, evil, cruel, wicked. He didn't care what kind of bits and pieces of hearsay he spread around. Anything that sounded juicy, he passed on. He spread it as much as possible. Seemed like he wanted to be the first to pass along some juicy tidbit. His prating is interpreted today. Today we would say, we wouldn't use the word prating, we would say he was jabbering, jawing, ranting and babbling and talking gibberish. You know, that's what we would say today. That's the language we would use today to describe his passing on those things that were slanderous. He was malicious in that. Malicious simply means hateful, mean, spiteful, and nasty, cruel, evil. This was Diotrephes. I don't believe he was a man that trusted anybody. Nobody could do anything good enough for him. Or he simply didn't let them try because he was so good at it himself. He couldn't get along with anybody in the church, or anybody else for that matter. As we think of a leader, I heard this statement, a good leader doesn't do the work of 100 men, but gets 100 men to work. As parents, as church leaders, if we give someone a job to do, let's make sure they understand their job description and then let them do it. This takes trust and confidence in our brothers and children. You know, it's often so easy, especially younger children, when they're really young, you give them a job or you hesitate to give them a job because you can do it so much faster yourself. How are they going to learn? But when you do give them a job, let them make sure they understand and then let them do it or help them do it. This builds trust and confidence. At the same time, he didn't trust anybody else, but at the same time, nobody trusted him either. The bottom line is that nobody trusted this man because he wasn't trustworthy. Someone made this statement: you can fool some people all the time, some people some of the time, but not all people all the time, and you will never fool God anytime. God has promised what goes around comes around. Or as the Bible says, you will reap what you sow. And John promised to deal with him when he came back to visit. Verse 11 would indicate that he was not a man of God. He plowed a wicked or an evil furrow, and all that followed him were either led away from God or never met God in the first place. Now let's look at Demetrius. That was kind of a negative man. Demetrius is a positive man. Verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. A short verse about a man, but long on track record. He had a threefold record here. He had the good report of all men. No one had a bad experience with him. Christian or non-Christian alike were treated with respect and integrity. Demetrius hath good report of all men. He had the reputation of honesty in business and in church life. I believe his life was a life of openness and transparency before God and the brethren. You know, he didn't have anything to hide or to prove. When we live truth, truth will speak for itself. And when we have truth, we have God. John 1, verse 14 tells us, this is telling us what or who truth is. John 1, verse 14. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. John 14, verse 6 tells us, this is Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth. So Jesus Christ is truth. And Demetrius had the witness of the truth itself in his life. He had the witness of a good report from all men, and now it tells us that he had the witness of truth itself. So Jesus was saying, I am pleased with your life. That's what he was saying. He had the good report of truth when his life was held up to truth itself. And truth gave him a good record. What a testimony. Does my life, does your life, when we hold it up to the truth, to Jesus Christ, can we see a great big flaw or discrepancy? Or do we have the truth, the testimony of truth in our life? Now I had one more report, one more a witness, and that was from the Apostle John himself. We also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. You know, there's times that church leaders know way more about members' lives than most others. And Demetrius' testimony was from Apostle John was that his life measured up to the high standards of truth. John's testimony was that we know what we're talking about. This man is of truth. Where is our life this morning? Is our life of truth? Do we have Jesus as truth itself in our heart? Which of these three describe our life? You know, I confess that many times, too many times, I see some or a lot of diatrophies in my life. You know, it's easy to get all wrapped up in myself, all wrapped up in thinking that I see this thing correctly. I see this issue right, and you don't. It's easy just to get all wrapped up in this thing that my way is best. Excuse me. And I know that's not true. You know, God was not pleased with Diotrephes' life. And if this is our experience, may we fall on our knees in repentance before God Almighty and confess and repent, pleading the blood of Jesus on our life. I'd like to read a couple verses. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 1, 6 and 7, telling us about the blood of Jesus. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As we heard this morning in devotional, we cannot hide sin from God, and yet we can receive forgiveness from it. Praise the Lord. In 1 John 1, it tells us, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And 1 Peter 1, verse 18, tells us, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, if the life of the other two brethren describes our life, then by the grace of God, let's understand that it's God's work and not our own that makes this possible. We can, by our own strength, do nothing that pleases God or brings his favor into our life. And we know that Demetrius and Gaius's life describes our life, then we know that it's by the grace of God. I understand that. But may we not get high-minded and think we can stand without God. May we go forth glorifying God and living for him in truth and in openness and in selfless service to our fellow man. In closing, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I believe what these verses are saying is, if we have this ministry of living a godly life, being completely surrounded by God, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, the last part, but by manifestation of the truth, as the truth is manifested in our life, as it is revealed in our life, we have nothing to hide. Our life is open before all, before God and before all. So how is our life this morning? Are we a Gaius? Are we a Diotrephes? Or are we a Demetrius? May God give us grace to live for him. Let's kneel for prayer.